Blog Talk Radio.
Things that we're going to talk about tonight. It is Ash Wednesday, and it is also St. Valentine's Day. And let me welcome my partner, Lewis, to the show. Lewis, how are you doing tonight?
Good, and you, brother?
Doing about as well as can be expected. As I was saying, it is Ash Wednesday. It's also St. Valentine's Day, and it's infrequent that those two fall together. The last time this happened was 1945, until it happened 6 years ago. It happens today, and it will happen again in 2029, but then it doesn't happen again for the rest of this century. So it's an infrequent thing. The last time it happened 6 years ago today was a pretty dark day, as 17 people were murdered in a high school in Parkland, Florida. And I was intending to talk about that, but we have breaking news. Lewis, I don't know if you're aware of this, but there was a shooting at the parade, victory parade for the Kansas City Chiefs. At least one person.
I think I heard
yes, at least one person dead, and there are 22 injuries, and apparently 15 of those are life-threatening, with considered to be immediately life-threatening. So another dark day on Ash Wednesday and St. Valentine's Day. And Lewis, these are the kind of things. I'm sorry.
So that's not holiness. Now, what were you going to say, brother?
I was just going to say, these are the kind of things that just make us say why. And they're the kind of things that a person of faith has a hard time getting your mind around. But they're reminders that we live in a dark world.
A fallen world.
And Lent kind of symbolizes that in a larger context, that as Lent symbolizes us moving from the winter of death into the spring of life, we realize that it's not just about this year, but that it's symbolic, it's enigmatic of the life journey, moving from death to life. And we can never be truly happy, ultimately happy, permanently happy, as long as we're in this place, because let's face it, we live in a world that's shrouded with death and misery. And yesterday, I was attempting to do this show yesterday. Technical problems prevented me from being able to go on the air. And yesterday was exactly 9 months until I go on my trip to Israel.
How about my man, brother? Hope you can get the gospel out there.
What's that?
I said, Ave Maria, brother. I hope that you can get the gospel out there.
Yeah, I think it's going to be it's going to be a life-changing event for sure. But I wanted to explain why I need to make this trip at this time.
We're all yours, brother.
Because I need to make that connection to all of the places and events that I know from the Gospels and from the Bible. I need to make that, it needs to be real to me in a way that it's never been real before, because the whole world's on fire right now, Lewis. It's a mess. Did you ever think in your lifetime you would see a time of such darkness?
No, I mean, I feel kind of encouraged, honestly, with all the things we're seeing. We're literally having society normalize mental illness in every way possible.
Not just normalizing mental illness, but normalizing just downright evil. And some of this stuff, and I'm not trying to minimize what you're saying, but I'm just saying some of this stuff cannot be explained by just mental illness. Some of it just comes down to right, straight up demonic activity. The devil exists. And I think we lost sense of that in this world that we live in. And the attacks on our faith, the attacks on the Holy Father, the attacks on marriage, the attacks on the family, the attacks on everything that is decent and sacred.
The attack on Christian unity, because that's one of the things that they're trying to get rid of. We were just having a discussion on what is a Protestant, because even among them, doesn't seem to be a generalized agreement. And there was arguments across the board, and Protestants disqualifying each other as Protestants and even Christians. The Catholic Church, you know, we don't have that issue. But yet that's something that Satan is trying to destroy, the unity in the church.
Mm-hmm. And I think there's plenty, unfortunately, within the ranks of Catholicism that are harming that unity. We're doing a pretty good job of attacking ourselves from within. And that's not good.
We were told towards the end there would be an infiltration, and I mean, but at the end of the day, confusion and infiltrations and these misguided Catholics, because, you know, even not all of them, you know, some of them do think they in their conscience they do, they're defending the Catholic Church. But all of this is, like we can agree, is weaponized confusion by Satan.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
So,
but
Lewis,
this weaponized confusion.
Go ahead. Finish your thought.
But this weaponized confusion was only said to be temporary, and eventually, you know, it will end.
Mm-hmm.
And the church will be stronger than ever. So I'm sorry. Go ahead, John.
Well, here we are. It's Ash Wednesday. It's the beginning of Lent. It's the beginning of the holy season of Lent. And I think a lot of Catholics approach this season as, okay, this is something that we got to, you know, we just got to endure this. We got to get through this and get to Easter. I think that's the wrong approach. I think Lent is something to be embraced. It's something to be embraced. It's something to be loved. It's something to be cherished, because this is when we, the crust, so to speak, strip off the dirt, get back to the core of who we are and what we are as believers. We re-examine ourselves. We free ourselves from the chains of the things that are holding us back. So
I agree.
What would be some suggestions? I want to kind of go back and forth. Some suggestions on things people can do to kind of kick off their Lenten journey today. And I'll start with you. What are some of your thoughts?
That's pretty easy. First, they have to know what they will be giving up for Lent, because that's part of you know, our culture, our Catholic doctrine, our teaching. We have to know what we give up for Christ, you know. So we can start by that.
Yeah. That's a good starting point. I believe that God can bring good out of any bad situation. And I know we don't want to focus on what happened today and the fact that you know, we have a death toll of one that's probably likely to go up with 15 people facing, you know, life-threatening injuries. We don't want to focus on that. We don't want to focus on what happened 6 years ago today. But I think we have to, because I think we should start our Lenten journey by being reminded of our mortality and being reminded of the fact that none of us is promised tomorrow. None of us are promised tomorrow. And
nobody.
Are we prepared to meet our Maker? And I can assure you this, none of the 17 people that died in Parkland, Florida knew what was coming, even 5 minutes before it happened. None of them. And in about 6.5 minutes, that gunman went through that school and shot 34 people. And 17 of those people perished. So I think as a focal point, I think one of the things that we can do is pray for those victims, pray for the repose of their souls, and ask them to intercede for us. So I'm going to start there. I'm going to name the 17 victims who lost their lives 6 years ago on this day and ask you to hold them up in your prayers, hold their souls up in your prayers, hold their families up in your prayers, and we ask them to intercede for us. So tonight we remember Luke Hoyer, Martin Duque Anguiano, Gina Montalto, Alex Schachter, Nicholas Dorette, Helena Ramsey, Alyssa Alhadef, Elena Petty, Carmen Shentrop Hickson, Scott Beagle, Aaron Feiss, Meadow Pollock, Kara Loughran, Joaquin Oliver, Jamie Guttenberg, Peter Wang. May their souls and the souls of all the faithfully departed, through the mercy of God, in peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
And you know what, John? We have to give a special prayer for the LGBT because there's been a lot of trans shooters that have been popping up, and the media doesn't cover them at all. And, not to undermine their victims, because their victims, well, they're the true victims, but it shows you what the lack of, you know, of mental health is doing to people. You know, the lack of us telling people that that they can't be something that they're not biologically born as. So that was just what we're doing to people. And this year is definitely the year of transgender shooters, because there's been many, John, and they've never even made it to the news.
I think that's a great idea. Why don't you offer that prayer right now?
I pray for all the people that have been deceived into thinking that they can be the other biological sex and that are not getting the help that they need to accept themselves for what they biologically are and do terrible things as a way to get revenge on society for, you know, not accepting their fake vision. I'm going to say a Hail Mary for them. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners now and the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
And while we're dealing with a society that's trying to foist that lie upon us, they're trying to suppress the truth. And one of the truths that they've been so effective in trying to suppress is Jesus Christ, our Lord, our God. He truly walked this earth. He truly was born in a stable. He truly fed 5,000 people, not including women and children. He truly was baptized in the Jordan River. He truly gave the speech known as the Beatitudes on the Mount of Beatitudes. He was truly transfigured in front of his disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration. He truly died on a cross on Calvary. He truly was laid in a tomb, and he truly rose from the dead. And again, to emphasize, this is why, and I really financially really couldn't afford to go on this trip. I really overextended myself to do it. But I needed to make this trip. This is something that I needed to do because I needed to make this connection in order to help me to have the strength to keep going and to make that connection to other people. So my second challenge to you in Lent is to do whatever you need to do in order to reignite your faith, whether it's going to adoration, whether it's reading spiritual books, whether it's taking on a new devotion, whatever it is to relight that fire, you need to do it because you may be the only person that is able to reach somebody who's lost, who's going down a bad road.
Exactly. And I mean, like, these are things that we should be doing on a daily basis. We shouldn't be I feel like a big issue is the church. We've been focusing too much on secular stuff. We let ourselves, you know, forget that we're not supposed to be a part of the world because, you know, the world, and even that isn't from God, is eventually going to be burned away, you know. And if we let ourselves become like the woke world, we're going to be burned away too. And I mean, like, it's not just the Catholic Church, you know. Other, you know, the other fake churches, all the Protestant ones, they have the same issue, if not worse. But we let ourselves forget, you know, we're supposed to be focusing our lives on Christ, making God the center of our lives. I think Father Mike Snitch, he made an excellent video on that. Are we giving God the first fruits? And the first fruits are the things that, you know, are first fruits of the day. Like when we wake up, what is the first thing that we do maybe after we shower and eat? Do we read the Bible? Do we read stories of saints? Do we pray? And most people, sadly, don't do this. So we always have to make sure we're giving God our first fruits. You know, it's not if you just, you know, one day happen to feel like I should pray. It's something you need to make into a habit every single day. It's sad, but this is one of the many things that we were told was going to happen during the times of the end. The church is going to be reduced to a handful. Well, not a handful, but a lot much less. But these people that are in the church will be impeccable, will be untouchable, basically. I think one of the cardinals says it. And it's coming, but people need to understand that we can't let ourselves go with the majority because the majority of people aren't going. Sure, narrow is the path of salvation, and most people forget that.
I think what you're saying is very true, and a good place to start is the website morningoffering.com. It's a good idea to make a morning offering, basically dedicating all your sacrifices, sufferings, joys, everything to God, and you're offering it in the morning. And then in the evening, it's a good idea to end your day with the act of contrition and fit as many prayers in there in between those two as you possibly can. Daily rosary is always a good devotion. Other devotions like the 15 St. Bridget prayers or the daily office. There's 100 ways you can go on this. But Lewis is right. Be committed. Be committed to a time or times of prayer every single day. It has to become a habit. You have to force yourself to keep up with that habit. And then make your whole day a prayer. Your job, whatever aggravations you deal with, difficult people, whatever you go through during the day, make that a prayer. Offer that up.
Exactly, because these are the things that we will be judged on. Our prayer life, our devotions, and try to let go of anything that you know is a strong, sinful attachment in your life, because that can sever you from God. I don't know if I ever told you this, but before 2017 when I really felt that God was pushing my heart, you know, squeezing my heart. I was very secular in that I was very into anime and all that stuff, cartoons. You know, like I let myself fall into the trend of, you know, being a man child, basically. You know, most people that are into Japanese animation and all this stuff, they make it into an idol. It's basically a religion to them. And, you know, I was so engulfed by that that I let it replace me being a Catholic. But God, you know, he brought me back and let me know that this stuff isn't going to fill me. So this is the example. Most people replace God with something in their lives. Some people do it with sports. Other people do it with video games. Other people do it with television. But part of being a Catholic is that you have to recognize that, and you have to know when to let go of things or just cut things out entirely out of your life.
Yeah. Just an update on the shooting in Kansas City. I'm reading that at least 11 of the victims were children. Earlier, they were saying there was no evidence or proof that any of the victims were children. Now they've confirmed at least 11 of the 22 victims were children. Now, again, from what I've been able to ascertain, there has thus far been only one confirmed fatality, but again, a number of at least 15 people had life-threatening injuries. Just horrible stuff. A couple updates on the Four Persons Network. Luke Haskell has had to take a step away from the network for a short period of time for personal issues. He assured me it has nothing to do with anything that, you know, any problems with anyone here, but just personal family issues that he has to address. And he has assured me that it's going to be of short duration. We're going to table our program on the Gospel of John until he returns. And I have decided time is right to start a series on the Book of Revelation, because it's probably the most misunderstood book of the Bible. And probably sometime late next week, I'll be starting that. And I would welcome you to assist in that if you'd like to, Lewis.
It would be my pleasure. And I hope that whatever's happening, it looks like he resolves it. And God gives him the grace to, because
yeah, it doesn't
sound
like
I would love to join to do this.
Luke, well, thank you. It doesn't sound like it's anything really serious on Luke's part. It just sounds like he just needs to step away to get some things in order. And I'll keep you updated on the progress of the exposition of the Book of Revelation.
Yes, pray. I'll pray for that, and I will join you in this. But I've noticed on Facebook that Facebook has been locking Luke a lot, has been attacking Luke, so we need to pray for that too. But yes, I will join you for the Revelation thing, and send me whatever thing you want me to study too. But I will join you, yes.
It's interesting because Luke's not a very confrontational person. He's not rude. He makes his points in a very eloquent way. But boy, they sure have the long knives out for him on Facebook. They don't want him to be able to get his message out. So let's go through the dates real quick. So today is again February 14th. So in this particular Lent, we are going to have, I believe, seven, seven Fridays in this Lent, and of course on Fridays we abstain from meat, and on Good Friday, which would be the 29th of March, we abstain from meat and fast. So Easter Sunday will be on the 31st of March, and then on the following Sunday, which is April 7th, will be Divine Mercy Sunday. So those are the days of Lent. Lewis, what are some of the ideas? You mentioned people giving things up, and it's not too late to start with that. What are your suggestions on things that people can either give up?
Minimalizing technology.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Like, I know some people took really hard to because they want to keep in touch with their families, but maybe in, like, setting boundaries on how much you can use your phone on a day and for what purpose, maybe not using your Wi-Fi and just using your phone for calling when you need to call a family member.
Yeah.
You know, taking all the time you have on your screen.
And I would add replacing some of that time with, like, the time that you would have spent maybe surfing Facebook or first surfing the internet, spend some of that time in a devotional, in a book. I mean, there's so many books that you can read, or go back and listen to some of the archive programs that we've had here on the Four Persons. And there's a ton of stuff that you can go back and listen to. From, you know, stuff that Luke has done, stuff that William has done, stuff that Ken has done. Lewis, we put out a lot of good content.
Yeah, and it would be nice if people, you know, not to say people haven't used it already, but if more Catholics would take advantage of it, and Protestants that actually want to learn the full truth.
Have you noticed that there's more and more Protestants that are taking up the practice of Lent? Have you noticed that? There's kind of a changing of the guard, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, I have. And it's because there's a huge conversion coming to the Catholic Church. And, you know, there is this one Protestant YouTuber by the name of Redeemed Sumer. He made a big complaint to the internet saying, why is everybody converting to Catholicism and Eastern Orthodoxy? What makes these, you know, because there seems to be a big conversion of them too. And but there's a big, with these, you know, what we have in common is that there's a huge falling away from Protestantism. More and more people are starting to see that Protestantism just doesn't stand historically. And more people are starting to question, well, there's so many different, you know, non-Catholic churches. What makes mine so special? And this
right.
is good. This is leading people into Catholicism.
I think you're right about two points. Number one, because of the technology that we have, people are able to find the truth easier. They're able to do their own research. They're able to find the truth. And the other thing is, you know, it's Protestantism has fractured into so many churches and sub-churches and sub-sub-churches. It's gotten so far out on a limb that it's pretty much almost collapsing under its own weight, isn't it?
There is no way to now define a Protestant anymore because they you know, and I see this happening all the time. I actually saw Matt Slick got into an argument with another Protestant that he hopes that only Lutherans and Presbyters and Anglicans are Protestant. And Calvinists and Methodists and Pentecostals with Seventh-day Adventists, they're not. And he offended Matt Slick, and Matt Slick was like, I'm not a Protestant. And it was a funny moment because it shows the point that we've been making, that even the definition of a Protestant is highly argued amongst them.
Mm-hmm.
you know.
Something else we're going to be working on probably during Lent. We did the big video production of the case for Christmas. We're going to be doing a video production on the case for Easter, basically using historical proofs and historical evidence to prove that that all of the accounts of the crucifixion and the resurrection were true and accurate, and we can actually identify the dates at which they took place. So that's going to be something else that we're going to be working on.
That is important. Another thing we can start to do is read the church fathers, say from the first century and onward, starting maybe with Saint Irenaeus.
St. Irenaeus?
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's hard to pronounce his name for sometimes. And I
no
do
problem.
Have
some of those names are hard to pronounce.
Yeah, Irenaeus and things like that. You know, going through them, showing people the Catholic Church in the first century.
Yep. One more announcement that I'm going to make. I know there's been a lot of people that have been asking questions about Terry Delp and are we going to bring Terry back? And it's in the works, okay? Terry was
I'm
doing
glad
a lot
that,
of...
But
I was just going to say it's in the works. Give us time on this, but it's in the works.
I pray that, you know, that we don't let any confusion get in front of what matters, serving the Catholic Church, the Bride of Christ.
Yeah. You know, we have that fine line we have to walk. We have to be orthodox in what we're teaching. We have to be accurate in what we're teaching. Giving flexibility for different opinions when it allows, but he certainly was doing a lot of really good things with the apostolates and the ministries that he's involved in, prison ministry and other things, and it's definitely in the works to bring him back.
I support that. He'd be happy to come back.
And, Lisa Marie Nicole is doing some really good things. She's really got a lot of good shows going on. She's winning a lot of awards. We're just really happy and pleased to have her involved. And William Hemsworth is doing a lot of things as far as promoting the network, promoting our shows at different places. And we're real grateful for that, too. So. That's really all I have to cover tonight. Do you have any closing thoughts, Lewis?
We just have to keep praying and pray, for example, like Catholics that are like Vatican I only, they understand that they can't pick and choose up to what council they obey. Pray that, you know, any confusion or fear that the church can fall is removed from their hearts. Although they'll claim that the church hasn't fallen, but for example, the chair has been empty. Pray that this, whether a pope is good or bad, that they understand that they can't leave the church or sever themselves from the current pope, even if he's a bad pope. Not to say that, you know, Pope Francis is, but let's say he was. Pray that they understand that they can't assume that a chair is empty just because there's a bad pope.
Right.
Because bad popes are inescapable. Although most of our popes have been good, they just can't throw away and say the chair is empty and it's been empty for a while. Because that separates you from the body of Christ. That separates you from the Catholic Church. I mean, the Church Father said it. Peter is the center of unity and so are his successors. So if you separate yourself from a successor of St. Peter, you are separating yourself from the Catholic Church. So I pray for
Amen. That. Amen. Well, God bless you, Lewis. Thank you for joining me tonight. And I'll catch you on the next one. God bless you. Have a great night.
You too, brother.